and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." We'll be looking at the last phrase, Lord willing, of verse 8 this morning, that I may win Christ, as well as verse 9, that I may be found in Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we acknowledge to You that apart from Your grace, there is nothing that we can personally achieve that brings You glory and honor. Our names must be removed. Our imprint must be replaced by Your imprint. Our power, our strength must be laid aside in order that You might show Yourself strong through us. Oh, Father, I pray that this morning we would see all else but loss, save the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We might get that we might see the winning life, the true life, the life that wins. And it's all found in Jesus Christ Himself. How I need You, O Lord, how we need You. We need Your Holy Spirit to open our eyes to Your Word. May we listen, not with hardened hearts. Give us grace to overcome any obstacle that would hinder us from hearing Your Word. Give me grace to overcome every obstacle that would hinder the proclamation of Your Word this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul viewed all his so-called achievements like that which is fit to be thrown to the dogs. He viewed it like dung, he says. And the word there is to cast to the dogs. It can refer literally to dung. It can refer to that which is cast to dogs. Here's another way the word is used, and I found this exceptionally grotesque. And I say, why? You say, why would you share this? Because we have to see. Ourselves as God's, or our personal achievements apart from Christ as God sees them. He said they were filthy rags in the Old Testament. This word that refers to that which is thrown to the dogs, to dung, also can refer to the half-eaten corpse of an animal. That's how Paul viewed his personal achievements, his personal religious achievements. Why? Because he saw they did not gain acceptability with God. They did not gain acceptance with God. None of your works can obtain God's approval apart from Jesus Christ. So that is quite a view that the Apostle Paul had of his personal achievements. Any other platform of religious confidence should be tossed to the dogs, should be counted as dung, should be thrown aside like filthy clothes. Because when we focus on our personal achievements, we will lose sight of the personal achievement of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Folks, if we could gain God's acceptance by our own personal achievements, by going to church, by church membership, by baptism, by prayers, by reading your Bible, if we could gain God's acceptance by our own personal achievements, Jesus Christ would not have had to die on the cross. But Christ did die. And so now we seek to follow the Lord because of what Christ has done. We seek to make His name known. We seek to know Him. Why? Because He's the one that gave us acceptability, made us acceptable to God. Ephesians says we are accepted in the Beloved. Our personal achievements do not bring right standing with God. They fall short of God's high standard, whereas Christ perfectly met God's standard. But Paul had to be willing to reject and forsake the platform of his own achievements in order to pursue the greatest endeavor, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. There is no greater relationship. There is no greater expedition that you can pursue in life other than the knowledge of Christ. It's the greatest relationship one can ever know. And God's called us to that glorious expedition. This morning I want to look at the winning way, the way of true achievement. We're going to evaluate the purpose of your life. Paul's purpose was to win Christ, he said. We're going to evaluate the position of your faith. Paul wanted to be found in Him. The purpose of your life, the position of your faith. Let's look at the purpose of your life as summed up at the end of verse 8. Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ, he says. Why? He says, I'm suffering the loss of all things. I count them but dung, that I might win Him. That I might win Christ. Now, I want to say from the outset here, the tendency is to focus on this passage in regards to those who do not know Christ as their Savior. And I will bring that out at some points. But the book of Philippians was written to a church, a body of believers. And so this passage is not necessarily first and foremost for the lost. It is for us. And I think we'll see why perhaps as we go through this morning. Paul said, my purpose, my goal, I want to win Christ. I want to win Christ. The winning life. As you study the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, you find a man in search, in deep search for the purpose of life. He tried everything. He tried every pleasure imaginable. He tried wisdom and intellectualism. He tried even sorts of religious pursuits. And yet he says this, I believe it's chapter 2 or 3, he says this. He says, I hated life. I hated life. Because I found that the pursuit of pleasure leaves me empty. I can never have enough. He said, I found that the pursuit of wisdom and intellectualism, there's no end to it. It keeps going. You can never know it all. And before you do know it, you're staring death in the face. Therefore, I hate life. And then he said, he goes on to various pursuits, and his conclusion is vanity is vanity. All is vanity. Until that last chapter. And he concludes, let us see the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He found that the relationship with God is the greatest thing in life. It's the only thing you'll ever take away from this life, is your walk with Him and the pursuit of your walk with Him. Paul said that I may win Christ. What did he mean to win Christ? He counted his own achievements as loss and dung in order to win Christ. What does that mean? I'd like to share two verses where the same word win is used, but it's translated with a different word. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Jesus said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The word gain there is the word win. In Matthew 18:15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast won. Thou hast gained, it says, thy brother. You've been reconciled. You've been restored. You are back in relationship with him. You're back in fellowship. And Paul says, I count all things but loss in order to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. In order to be back in the pursuit of the knowledge of him. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, used the noun form in Philippians 1:21 when he said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, or to win, when you're pursuing the knowledge of Christ. Life or death, when you have Christ, you need nothing more. You need nothing more. To live is Christ. That was the banner. That was the purpose of Paul's life. To win Christ. To know him. Before Paul met Jesus, his aim was religious achievement and personal recognition. He wanted to appease God and impress men. Then Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he realized that all those attempts at trying to gain God's pleasure were actually damaging. They were lost. They had actually led to separate him from God the Father because they were efforts of the flesh. It was sin against God to pursue trying to impress God through personal achievements. You see, he saw on the road to Damascus that his own efforts look like refuse compared to what Christ did on Calvary. All the praises of people, all the feelings of self-righteousness rang hollow because God confronted Paul with Christ's perfect righteousness, called the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Folks, what are you trying to win in life? What are you trying to win in life? What is it that you're aiming at each day to win, to gain? I had to get gas yesterday. I walked into the gas station and the line was incredible. And the person in the gas station said, oh, you should have seen it yesterday. It was to the back of the wall. I'm like, what is going on? Well, there's a $900 million Powerball ticket that everybody's trying to win. How foolish. How foolish. What does it profit if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You don't see the lines going out the door for people to get into the church to hear God's way. What are you trying to win in life? What drove your life this past week? A right standing with God and his approval? Or a life of your own pleasures? You see, pleasure can be deceitful. Some pursue personal good achievements for pleasure, even religious achievements for pleasure. Makes them feel good, thinking they can impress God, and you can't do that. Those are dangerous achievements. Those are dangerous pursuits. And I've shared this story with some of you of my own testimony of living for personal achievement. I'm reminded of it every year when I hear about high school basketball season. Because when I was in the 10th grade, our team was competing in an invitational tournament. And at the close of the tournament during the award ceremony, I was surprised to find out that I had received honorable mention for the Christian Character Award. Now, I didn't get to get a trophy, though, because it was only honorable mention. But something clicked in my mind that day, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to win that trophy. And so next year, tournament comes around, junior year, and I had plenty of opportunity to play and had a good season, and I was making sure that my testimony was solid and that my reactions were right and that the coaches saw me in the right attitude and the right mindset. And I won it that year. And the next year, same thing. I dedicated myself, played hard, worked hard, and wanted just a Christian Character Award too. And I won it that year. But folks, there was not true Christian character in me whatsoever. Because true Christian character seeks to honor Jesus Christ in all he does. True Christian character wants Jesus Christ to truly be glorified and seen in our lives. While I may have had a good reputation before men, and not all my motivations were wrong, it's kind of... Through the years, as the Lord has worked in my heart, he's shown me the vanity, though, of my actions and some of the dangerous wickedness that I had given into in the thought processes to getting that trophy. I wanted, though, to be recognized by Christ and glorify him, but I wanted to impress the pastors. I wanted to impress the coaches. I especially wanted to impress the girls. And so my motives were completely wrong. They were completely wrong. And those awards left me with an empty heart. You see, God sees right through your motives. God sees why you did what you did this past week. He saw whether or not you were trying to win Christ and gain him, and whether or not you were seeking his glory in your life, or whether you were just trying for human recognition when you did that good work. It was not out of love for Christ at all. It was really maybe to appease your conscience. And such achievement is not achievement in God's sight at all. It's loss. It's damaging. What are you trying to win in life? You see, we can even beyond religious achievements. I think just as damaging, we find in our lives as well the pursuit of personal pleasures, from food to sensuality to personal relationships. Fun. All these things not necessarily bad in the proper place. But when we live for them, instead of seeking to win Christ, we're not accomplishing anything at all in the sight of God. We're distracted. And someday, it'll burn like wood, hay, and stubble if you know Christ. If you're here today, though, without the Lord Jesus, you've not trusted in him to save you from the guilt and grip of your sins. I repeat again that verse, Matthew 16:26. What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What a mad rush for a $900 million Powerball ticket. And I was told that you have a better chance of becoming president of the United States than you do to win that Powerball ticket. So save your money. What is it profited if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I didn't intend on saying this as I said it earlier, but you know, you see the lines going out the doors for Powerball tickets, but you don't see the lines going out the doors for people to hear the preaching of the Word of God anymore. It just shows that our affections and our lives, that men's lives, are pursuing pleasures, are pursuing things of this life without any thought of their eternal value. And if you've not trusted Christ to save you from the guilt and the grip of sin in your life, then God says that you are a condemned criminal. That's what God says. I can't say it any more clearly than what God says. He says in Romans 6:23, yes, the wages of sin is death. But a verse that grabs me every time I read it and makes my heart ache for a lost person. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath already possesses, has everlasting life. And that ought to be the picture of the true believer. Everlasting life, pursuing Christ. Overflowing, abundant life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. In fact, you don't even know what it is to live. But the wrath of God abideth on him. It means you're already under the wrath of God. If you've not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, where you are trusting in what he did on the cross of Calvary to save you from your sins, if you're not trusting, if you do not believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead to give you everlasting life as a free gift, if you are not trusting in him as the Lord of all things, the Bible says that the wrath of God abides on you. I've heard it pictured like you are like a man hanging by a thread over the pit of hell. You're already in trouble. You're already under God's wrath. And as soon as God says your last breath is now, that thread will break. And it'll be too late for you. Why? Because God's mean? No, because you've rejected the truth that he's trying to reveal to you. God evaluates you. He knows you. He knows what you're pursuing. Evaluate the purpose of your life. Are you living to win Christ? Christians, have you lost sight of why God saved you? It wasn't so you could go on and serve yourself. God saved you to go on and serve him. How are you serving him? Not just to serve him. Let me get the cart in its proper place. God saved you for a personal relationship with him, and that will lead you to serve him. That overflow of life and joy will be that such where I want to serve my Lord. Look what he's done for me. Look what he's doing right now in me. Look at my Lord. I want to serve him. Is that you? Are you striving to win Christ, to make him known, to make him your primary goal? Evaluate the purpose of your life. And then secondly, evaluate the position of your life. Paul says, I want to be found in him. Don't miss those first three words. I want to be found in him. What does that mean? That means you are undergoing an evaluation. It's not an active verb. It's not you finding yourself in him. It's a passive verb. That means somebody else is going to find you, is evaluating you. Are you found in him right now? If God, and he does, if God is searching your heart right now, is he finding you in him? This is the position of your life. And specifically, we have the tremendous truth of salvation in this verse. He knows right now whether or not you're in Christ, whether or not you're in him as his child, or if you're still in the flesh, pursuing your own achievements, living life for yourself, for your own pleasures. God evaluates you. There are two positions laid out in this verse that people put their trust in. It's very clear there. He says in verse 9, I want to be found in Christ. In what condition? Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Here's, by the way, the heart cry of the Reformation. Or maybe you know about the Reformation, where the church had become so corrupt, the mainstream church of the day had become so corrupt that people were doing foolish things to try to earn God's favor. They were selling, the church was actually to make money, and they did a good job doing that. They sold indulgences. I guess it's still something you can do today in some mainstream place religions, where you could, if you sin, you could just pay a little extra money and that sin would be taken care of by the priest or whatever, where you could just give a little money and live the way you wanted to. How foolish. How foolish. And also in that day, you had people, one thing they would do would be climbing up the steps of holy sites on their knees while praying and going through beating themselves, things like that, thinking they were earning God's favor. When the Bible says, no, Christ already suffered for us. It's not a personal suffering that we force ourselves into by beating ourselves. No, Christ endured all the suffering for sin that needed to take place. But some still sought to do that, and many do today. Countless numbers do today seek personal achievements. In fact, the difference between Christianity and all other religions, there is yet to be another religion that matches Christianity in this way. Christianity says that salvation is a free gift from God received by grace through faith. All other religions add some sort of works. You have to be a member of a church, or you have to keep some sacraments, or you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to go on a journey, or you have to, and it's all on what you do. Whereas God says, no, it's done. It's done. Everything that needs to be done for us to have salvation was accomplished in Jesus Christ on the cross. And so here's the position of personal righteousness. It says, I don't want to be found having my own righteousness, which is of the law. And what does it mean, of the law? Well, God gave the law of Moses to Israel in the Old Testament to reveal to them their sinful desires and actions. So you think especially of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Honor thy father and mother. And we could go through the Ten Commandments. And there are hundreds of ceremonial laws as well. But the point of the law was to show Israel that they couldn't measure up to God's standards. And Galatians reveals that very clearly. It was a schoolmaster for men to look at their lives and realize, I can't keep God's commandments. I'm a sinner. And it says, and Galatians teaches that they were to look forward by faith to what Jesus Christ would do according to the promises that are throughout the Old Testament. They were to, by faith, follow God's directions. Because they could not please God by personal merit. The problem was that many of the people of Israel lost sight of faith in God's promise. And so the law became all about outward efforts of doing. Do this. Do that. And so they saw, and you can read through the Gospels of men, they would have these large pictures on the offering, or the collections were made for the offerings, and religious, very strong religious men, pious men, would come in with handfuls of coins and throw them in, and you'd hear them clang, clang, clang. You'd hear all that money going in. And they'd stick their nose up in the air, perhaps. And they'd be on the street corners praying, where everybody could see them praying. And it became this outward show of personal achievement. Then the Lamb of God comes on the scene, and He reveals that the commandments given in the Old Testament were to show just how wicked we are. And He took them further as He said, you know, Moses said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say to you that he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her in his heart hath committed adultery already. And he goes down through and he shows the wickedness within. You can paint an outward appearance, but you can't change the sin of your heart that every single one of us has. Yet Jesus Christ, in obedience to the Father, took the consequences of our sins upon Himself, revealing to us that it's not the works of the law, it's not personal achievements, it's not what I do that saves my soul. No, he says in verse 9, I want to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. That's why it's called the righteousness of God. The gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God. It is God's plan for salvation, not your plan. It is God's prescribed only way to deal with sin. It's through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. And men can try to come up with all sorts of radical things, self-denying things, to try to earn favor with God, but it is not God's plan. It is not the righteousness of God. It's man trying to appease God by trying to make his own way of righteousness. But God said, no, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How do you receive a right standing with God? By faith. By faith. Paul wanted to be found in Him, not having his own righteousness. No, he needed the righteousness of God. Folks, the only way anyone ever gets into heaven is with perfect righteousness. You say, that's impossible, I'm a sinner. Ah, but if you're in Christ by faith, your sins have been removed and placed on Christ, and He's imputed His righteousness to your account, so that when God the Father looks at you, He sees the gift of His Son's righteousness covering your life and says, you're my child. You are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's the only righteousness that gets into heaven. And so you may be here today and you have been trying to clothe yourself in your own righteousness through goals, of good goals of achievement, but you never recognize that you are a wretched sinner before God, breaking God's laws, a criminal against God. You've never recognized that and said, Lord, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself no matter what I do. But I see that Jesus did it all for me. And today I'm putting my faith and trust in what Jesus did, not what I do. I want to receive the gift of everlasting life from you. You can know that today. If you're here without Christ, you've never received Christ as your Savior, you can today be brought into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You can be made right with God, your sins washed away, because no person will ever stand before God and successfully boast of their accomplishments. Never. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's according to His mercy that He saved us. Christian, don't forget, this passage was written to believers. So its intent was not primarily for a salvation message. Have you forsaken the pursuits of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ in order to go your own way? No, you haven't lost your salvation, but you're not walking with God. We read in our Sunday school class this morning from Hebrews chapter 2, where it says that we're to beware lest at any time we should let the salvation we've received in Christ and our relationship with God, the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Lest at any time we should drift away from Christ. Believers, what's the pursuit of your life? Your position may be in Christ, but what's the pursuit of your life? Is it the knowledge of Christ? Have you been seeking to know Him each day and to boast of Him each day? Or are you going about your days for yourself? It's an empty life. That is not the joyful, abundant life that Christ offers. What is it you're pursuing? So let's evaluate our lives this morning. Your position, are you in Christ? And your purpose, are you pursuing Christ? Are you seeking to win Him? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Is there anyone here this morning saying, Pastor Hunt, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I am not sure that I'd spend eternity in heaven. Pastor, would you pray for me? Anyone like that today, put your hand up. I'm just going to pray for you and that's it. I'm not going to call you out or run you down. Anyone like that? All right, believers, evaluate the purpose of your life. What are you living for each day? When I say the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, does that seem excellent to you? Is it really the joy and rejoicing of your heart to know Him? You see, when we see the pursuit of Christ as too high or too costly, we've sunken to a low in our Christian lives that ought to frighten us. Let me say that again. When we see this pursuit of Christ as too high or too costly, we have sunken to a low in our Christian lives that ought to frighten us. Because it means we have devalued the greatest gift that God has ever given. Oh Lord, protect our church. Protect us from getting distracted by personal achievements. Protect us, Lord, from replacing the preeminence of Christ with something else or someone else. May Christ always be first. Lord, if you see areas in our church and in our personal lives where we are not walking with you, where we are not giving you the excellent position, would you convict us clearly and mercifully by your Holy Spirit that we might repent and turn? And if there's anyone here today who does not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray they'd see today they are in danger of hellfire right now. They're already condemned. But they can be free from that condemnation by putting their faith in Jesus. And if there's anyone like that here today, Lord, I pray you would not let them have rest until they've settled this matter. That they'd give the attention to the need of their soul, as that will live for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing number 454.